And as we think about who Jesus is and why He came, there's a great exercise that we could do where we could just read through the Gospels and we could let Jesus tell us why He came. There are a number of reasons why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But there are two reasons that stand head and shoulders above the rest. And Jesus articulates those two for us in Luke, the 19th chapter. We have a children's song that we sing about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. The story of Zacchaeus is more than a story about a man of short stature. The story of Zacchaeus is a story of salvation. In Luke 19, verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For," verse 10, "the Son of Man has come, number one, to seek, and number two, to save that which was lost." When we think about the person and the work of Jesus, and we ask the question, why did Jesus come? Jesus came, according to Jesus, Luke 19, verse 10, to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we think about the person and the work that Jesus came to do, His work of providing the opportunity for us to be found and to be saved was so complete that He would say from the cross, "It is finished." The work of Jesus to provide the opportunity for us to be saved was finished at the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's in this resurrected Lord and Savior that we rejoice this morning. He is not a dead hero or a past founder. He is the resurrected Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. So this was the work that He came to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. And as we think about the person of Jesus and the invitation of Jesus, notice how He invites us to come, and notice who He invites us to come to. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, we have the most succinct statement of Jesus regarding His invitation. So His invitation is to come to Him, to come to the person of Jesus Christ. "Come to Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And so Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And as He was seeking lost souls to save, His simple invitation was, "Come to Me." And those who accepted His invitation, those who came to Him and gave their lives to Him and began the process of learning from Him. This is what Jesus called them to do. I want you to come to me, and when you get to me, then I am going to send you out. You are going to come to me, and then you are going to go for me. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus would say, beginning in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He would call us to Himself, and then He would call us to go in His name to tell others about His person and to tell others about His work. And so as we think about this process, another neat way of thinking about it and saying it is that when we come to Him, when we accept the invitation of Jesus and we come to Him, He saves us. We come to Him for the purpose of receiving the salvation that He came to bring. So in Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 4, we have the most succinct description of the process of salvation, of what was in the heart of God when He sent forth Jesus, and what was in Jesus' heart when He came, when He was seeking, when He was providing salvation, and what's in His heart when He does indeed save those who come to Him. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 4, God is rich in mercy. And what was motivating Him to send Jesus was His great love. And notice in Ephesians 2:4, He doesn't just have great love, but He expresses it toward us. God is love, John tells us in 1 John, but God also loves. He is love, but He loves. Because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses. Remember the criticism that we just read of Jesus in Luke the 19th chapter and Him going home with Zacchaeus? They were critical of Jesus because He went home to eat with a sinner. It was even when we were dead in our trespasses, verse 5, that God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We come to the Christ who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And what we find in Him is love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And after He saves us, verse 10, He creates us anew in Christ Jesus for good works. We have been saved, my beloved brethren, to serve. We come to Jesus for salvation, and then after we have been forgiven by grace through faith, He sends us out. His work becomes our work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, that's another way of saying, if anyone has accepted the invitation of Jesus, if they have come to Christ for forgiveness, if they have found forgiveness by grace through faith, then he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And so that's the problem. God would have us to be one with Him, but sin separates us from God. That is what the person and the work of Jesus is all about. He came to reconcile us to God through His precious blood that washes away our sins, that cleanses our conscience from the guilt of sin to do the work of God that He has given us from eternity. And so what we find when we come to Christ for forgiveness is that He in turn sends us out and gives us, verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We hear the gospel of Jesus Christ that is uttered from the mouth of Jesus Himself. We accept the invitation of Jesus. By faith, we go to Him. We come unto Him. He washes our sins away by His own precious blood. And after we have been cleansed, He gives us His work. And we go in His name and we tell others what He has done for us and what He can do for them and how we can be forgiven and reconciled to God. As we think about this beautiful process of why He came and why we go, may I turn your attention for just a few minutes this morning to Noah's Ark? Look at Genesis chapter 6 with me. As we think about this, why He came, why we go, in order to help us to see the beauty of the spiritual relationship that we have with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. The beauty of coming to Him and then going for Him. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, we read that there was a lot of sin in the world and that everybody was just continually thinking about sin all the day long, and it just got to be enough for the God who is holy, by definition, who is completely set apart from sin. But Noah, Genesis 6 verse 8, he found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. And what that means is that Noah was a sinner. Folks that haven't sinned and fallen short of God's glory don't need grace. Noah was a sinner, but he responded to Jehovah God by faith. And as a result, he found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. The process of salvation that we read about in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, is true from the beginning. We are all saved by grace through faith. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of Jehovah. And here is what God told Noah to do in verse 14. I want you to make, by definition, a box. By definition, an ark is a box. And this box was going to be unique in two senses. It was going to be a big box and it was going to float. I want you to build a great big box that will float. And what I want you to do, Noah, chapter 6, verse 16, is I want you to build a door. One door. The door. Genesis chapter 6, verse 16, you shall make a window, and then you shall set the door of the ark in its side. So when the ark was completed in chapter 7, verse 16, we read that those that entered, male and female of all flesh, Noah and his family, 8 souls, they went in as God had commanded them, and Jehovah God closed the door behind them. The rains came down and the floods came up, and this great big box that Noah built according to the command of Jehovah God, it began to rise. The water lifted it up, and those who perished in the judgment water died as Noah and his family through water were saved through the ark as the ark rose above the judgment waters. After the flood was completed and the water went away, notice what Jehovah God told them to do in Genesis chapter 8, verse 16. God spoke to Noah saying, verse 15, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. You went in through the door for the purpose of being delivered from the judgment of sin. Now, I want you to go, and I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. As we think about Noah's Ark and our relationship with Jehovah God today, may I encourage you to think about this point with me first. Number one, our ark is Christ Jesus Himself, the person of Jesus. In John chapter 10, notice what Jesus says about Himself beginning in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Our ark is Christ, and the will of Jehovah God for us today is that we would enter in to a personal relationship with God through no other door save that of Jesus Christ Himself. We are to enter in through Him to Him. And just as Noah and his family entered the ark unto the salvation of their lives, we enter into Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, for the salvation of our souls. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, that just as the ark of Noah delivered them from judgment, our ark, Christ Jesus, gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. But not only that, watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3, as we think about the person and the work of Jesus, why He came to seek and to save the lost, to bring about reconciliation, watch this. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, the door, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. Jesus delivers us from the wages of sin. Having entered the ark, Noah and his family then escaped the judgment of God through water. in the ark, they were lifted to salvation through the means of water. 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. Christ delivers us from sin through water baptism as His blood washes away our sins. We enter Him for salvation and for safety. And once we accept His invitation and we enter into a relationship with Him, the first thing He says to us is the first thing Jehovah God said to Noah. Go. You go and you tell everybody who I am, what I have done, what I am doing, what I am going to do. You go and tell the good news that reconciliation is now available through my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The greatest work that was ever done was by the person of Jesus Christ. And He has given us the opportunity to share in it. How exciting is that? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He had to climb up in a sycamore tree just to see Jesus. He was a tax collector, which means that the Roman government had given him the authority to collect the taxes from his own brethren, and then he had the liberty to get more from them. He was cheating his own brethren. He was stealing from them. He was padding his pockets with his brethren's money. And Jesus tells him to come down out of that tree because I'm going to go home with you today. And everybody sort of looked around at that and they said, what is this guy doing eating with sinners? We are Zacchaeus. He came to seek and to save us. We have the opportunity to find salvation in Him. And then we have the opportunity to go and to share the person and the work with Jesus so that they can be saved. Why did Jesus come? He came to save me. Why do I go? I go to introduce folks to the person who can save them. I am not the Savior, but I know Him. And He has saved me. And in my salvation, He has communicated to me that He loves me. And He has also communicated to me that He loves everybody else too. And His desire is that they would be saved. And by His grace, He has given all of us the opportunity to share not only in the person of Jesus, but in His work. To my beloved brethren this morning, I would say, let's be about the business of doing the work that Jesus began. The work of seeking and saving the lost. Let us go in His name and tell others about His person and about His work and how they too can be saved. If you're not a Christian this morning, and you understand who Jesus is and what He did, we traditionally sing a song at this moment that we refer to as the invitation song. It's not our invitation. It is the invitation of Jesus Christ. The point of this lesson is that we would all resolve, whether we are believers or unbelievers, that we are going to act based on what we know. That we are going to resolve to go for Him because of the salvation that He has given to us. Or, as a person who has not entered in through the door this morning, we are encouraging you in the singing of this song to resolve to come to Jesus this morning, to find forgiveness through His blood, as you're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, if you have a need and we can help you, we encourage you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing. I am resolved.